It doesn't happen here, let me just tell you, but I will tell you this. Oftentimes, the glory of the Lord gets up and leaves after worship. And I'm just telling you because sometimes we do our thing, not God's thing. But it's been good so far, hasn't it? When the choir starts singing like that and we all start responding, I can't wait till we're at the sea in Revelation and all of us, the multitudes, gathering, just praising God, rocking out. I mean, and no timetable. That's good. Let's pray. Father, you are an awesome God, and we can't even begin to praise you, and we can't even begin to conceive of how awesome you are. But you're God. And we thank you for the opportunity to trust you, to allow you to work through broken vessels, incomplete individuals that you're completing. We ask now that you would again just continue to touch us, open our eyes on what you're doing in our midst and how you want to do it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the first time I've had the opportunity to honestly share with you. Many of you prayed for me when I went to the Philippines the last part of February, first part of March, and I want to share with you a few pictures of that. I was sitting in my chair, and as I was looking through this video, one of the little ones, I have a bad back, and I just have to watch that all the time. And for the 12 days that I was ministering there, I rode in a Jeep. And you know, there was only one night when I felt that I couldn't stand up and preach. And that was God. Let's show them the Philippines. Let's show that overhead of this. I landed here at Manila, and all of our ministry was right down here in the Versailles Islands. And we will get another shot of that. I'm going to show you where we traveled, and then I'm going to give you some pictures of that. We landed just below Leyte here, right, and then actually stayed at MacArthur Park. And for the first 4 days, we ministered on the western part of Samar and the eastern part, and then right here in Leyte. Then we crossed over to Omak and went to Cebu and had 2 days here. And here, you're going to see a church. One of the exciting things for me is I was in a Denny's restaurant on Sunday morning. No, not in a Denny's. I was in a McDonald's. There's not Denny's around the world. There are McDonald's. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, we were having, and all of a sudden I saw this guy walk by with what I thought was a Bible. I thought, well, he's maybe going up to his office because we were in a business building. And then I saw a mother and two kids, and I saw another one. I said, Bob, what's going on here? Is there a church somewhere? He says, I don't know. I said, well, how much time do I have? And he said, you got about 15 minutes. I had to go see. So you're going to see. On the second floor, there's a church, just like us, a portable church. Had 5 services that day, and you'll see them. But all over, there's churches. And so it... I got carried away. Can I have my map back? I'm sorry. They're doing their job, and I'm not doing mine. If we can't, that's fine. We can. Okay. So we ministered in Cebu for 2 days. We went across to Toledo. And then I'm going to show you a picture. We were on a ferry right across here over to San Carlos. There was a typhoon that was going to hit. You may not have remembered that, but all of a sudden that typhoon went north. Praise God for that. But we had some of the side effects, and I wasn't sure what kind of side effects. Many of the people in the ferry, you'll see, they had a lot more trouble than I did. Praise God, I was able to not get too sick. We came across here to San Carlos. We went across here, and here we preached in the only place I was uncomfortable. It was a little mountain village, and we missed a turn, and we were backing up. And Bob said, isn't that a marketplace, and aren't there people there? And one of the guys had to say yes, and he said, stop the truck. And he jumped out, and he just started preaching. He went over and found the barangay captain. It's like a precinct, and said, can we preach? And he said, go ahead. They're busy. Probably won't listen to you. He just got in the middle, 400 people, you'll see him preaching, and about 100 people responded to Jesus Christ. He said, I've got something in the marketplace you don't have to pay for, and I've got something in the marketplace worth more than anything you could buy here. And then he went on to share. So we spent about 2 hours there, and then we went to Bangio, and spent two more days, then went over to Iloilo and spent the last 2 days. And over here in this island, Iloilo, this summer, they're going to have a summer outreach. They're hoping to hit 500 high schools, have 221 evening showings in different barangay or precincts. They figure they will minister to 300,000 people.
Wow.
And between 50 and 80% of those people will respond. God is doing something in the Philippines. He's doing a God thing. Bob Tebow, who I went with, and some of our people go in July, and there's another team going to go in October. If you want to be interested, you can find some more information at the mission table. He said, I've been ministering for 15 years in the Philippines, and these last 5 years, God is doing an amazing thing. He says, everywhere we go, 50 to 80% of the people are responding. And that was true for me. When where I was at, we spoke to 11,000 people. We spoke in 8 high schools and 22 elementary schools, and we had 21 film showings. And of those 11,000 people, 8,800 of them received Jesus Christ. You're going to see a picture where of a high school and a high rise in the back, and I preached on the second floor. And they all came into one room. And as I was preaching to these high school kids, I mean, I've never seen it. I'm in the middle of sharing. I only had 20 minutes to share. And then half of that's translation. Don't ever tell a preacher you only got 10 minutes. It's crazy. But I'm preaching. I could have stopped right. People, kids, girls and guys were crying. Just crying. They get finished with it. Let's make the invitation. I mean, that was just how easy it was. And any one of you could have done that because, see, that's a God thing. It's not the words that you speak, but it's what God wants to do in hearts. Now, let's show them the rest of that film then. This is a freeway outside of Manila. This is the best it gets. And there's all the forms of transportation, bicycles, cars. I mean, these are the best. So if you're riding a bus, don't complain anymore. These are all different types of buses. This is what most of the roads are like. And then you get into the villages, it gets a little bit better. This is a regular tire shop. They were all over the place. You know why, the way the roads are. And they work real hard. But if the tire doesn't fix, they can fix something else with it. They use every piece of merchandise they have. And the opportunity at the end after we made led people in Christ, we gave Bibles to the teachers so that they could teach the kids about the Bible. Can you imagine being in a public school and giving the teachers Bibles so that they could teach with the kids? This is a typical barangay where we would preach the gospel at night, but here we're doing it. There was a school, so we're doing a school assembly this morning. And this is a rich barangay or precinct. Bob has issued the invitation, and these are the people that came forward to accept Christ after he finished sharing that morning. There were people in the houses on the outside that actually came out of their houses and walked across. Here we are at a high school morning flag assembly. One of the joys we had here is I was talking to an eighth grade teacher, and I told him where I was, and he says, "You know, that's the village I'm planting a church in next week." Can you believe that's a God thing? Here's that high school I was talking about that we shared in the day before. Here's the assembly that morning that we were sharing at. Here's that church I was talking about. There's another little Baptist church that we ministered with in an elementary school where the pastor went and was able to help us. And then the kids came over. Here's that morning in the ferry. Let me tell you, praise God for our ferries. Most of these people out there were trying to keep it down. They'd all come outside to get a little fresh air. Thank you. We never passed another vehicle on that road. Here's the village where Bob spoke at. And then this is the last high school that we spoke at in Iloilo, just before we came back. The last shot is just how small some places are. This was the one little school in Samar where both the high school and the elementary school are together. God is doing an amazing thing there. And if you're at all interested, you can go by the missions table and get the short-term mission. I wish you all could go there because God's doing something that very seldom do we as individuals get to see. And that's a real revival in people's hearts. I love short-term missions. I love the work. But it's something to just say, okay, if you would like to see Jesus Christ come into your life, I want you to step forward right now. And then if this was a typical meeting in the Philippines, three-quarters of you would be right up here. I don't know what God's going to do in the Philippines in the days ahead, but there's 77 million people there. Bob's hope is in the next 5 years to preach in every barangay. There's 42,000. And right now, 15% of the people in the Philippines are believers. With this kind of percentage, though, you could see a country with 35 to 40 to 50 million people. And what God can do, He could do like He's doing in South Korea and just touching His world. I don't know. But that same God that's working there is also working here. And I want to move back from there, but I wanted you to share because many of you prayed for me. And you are a participant in that. And those people, you're going to get to heaven, and they're going to say thank you to you. You're going to say, why? Because you allowed your pastor to come over, and some of you even supported to let that happen. And I don't know what he's going to do in the days ahead, but we may get involved in one of those islands, and you can just be praying about that. But that same God and that same power, that he's opening hearts there, he indwells each one of us, and he wants to open our lives up to be more of what God would have us to be. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. None of us like to be upside down. That's why we use the term, he landed on his feet, to talk about somebody that got through okay. We use the term upside down. We talk about somebody has a lease of a car in which the lease, he can't sell the car for what he owes on the lease. We do that in the stocks. When you buy stocks and you can't sell it for what you purchased it for or what you owe on it. Most of us have experienced that in the last couple of years. But you can use upside down in a whole lot of in the sports arena, in the Olympics. They had some of the newer Olympics, you know, they're going, they're doing actually flips. They land on their feet and they may win a prize. They land on their head and they're in trouble. Let me tell you, it's no fun to land on your head. I had that opportunity way back before flips were popular. Back in 78, we were at a snow retreat with the high school kids. And they built just this little ramp, just a little one, just to kind of go off in the air. And I was just learning how to ski. And one of the hardest things when you learn to ski is to stay forward. You somehow want to go backwards to slow up. Well, I was coming down the hill and I thought I was going too fast. And so I was going like this. So when you come off a little bump like that, you're ready to do what? You're ready to take a flip. Only you're going so slow and you're so big that you get up about this far up. And you know what happens? Gravity, straight down. And I went straight down, boom. And I was scared. I mean, when I laid there, I heard Hutch screaming and a bunch of people. And all I'm doing is, okay, this foot's moving. Because I landed right on my neck. And this hand's moving, and this hand. And then I was okay. But you know, what is bad in the world to be upside down. What is bad physically for us to be upside down? In the Christian realm, it's a fantastic place to be. Because when you and I are upside down in the Christian realm with Jesus Christ, we're right where God wants us to be. See, most of us think God wants us to be the macho men. God wants us to have it all under control, to know what's going on. But you know, when you and I are there, God's not there. See, there is so much that you and I can do in the Christian realm in the flesh. And it can look real good. But God's handwriting over it says what? God writes over it Ichabod. You know what Ichabod means? The glory of the Lord has departed. You see, what God wants you and I to accomplish is not what you and I can do in the flesh. If that was so, He didn't have to come. What God wants us to do is what God wants to do in and through broken people. See, it's our brokenness which allows God to be God. And we sometimes miss that point. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I can do nothing except what I see the Father doing. Jesus said He couldn't do it. And if Jesus couldn't do it on His own, how in the world can we? See, the same principle is true. We wear that bracelet all the time. What would Jesus do? The problem is we know it up here, but we don't live it out in the day-to-day life. We get out in the world and we start living just like the rest of the world. And we wonder why our witness is not what it should be. We wonder why the joy is not what it should be. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 and 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness, in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is going to be an opportunity. Look at the promise here in verse 9. But he said to me, and it starts with that little but. And I circle that word. Anytime you are going through life and you forget to factor in God, you're in trouble. Paul was worried but he said to me, God is in the business of speaking to each one of us. You want to hear God speak? Just open the Word of God. And He will speak to each one of us. And what does Paul say? But He spoke to me. And what did he say? My grace is sufficient. Now, he could have said, my power is sufficient, which it is. But he said, my grace is sufficient because he wanted you to know you don't deserve it. See, grace is getting what you don't deserve. How many times when you and I pray do we set the agenda by telling God how many things we've done so that He's obligated to answer our prayer? Don't you stack the deck? Have you ever stacked the deck so that somehow God's going to be convinced that what you need is just what He's going to do for you? He says, it's grace. See, none of us deserve it. Think of what God has done for you. And just think this last week. Just go back to the last week. Maybe even today. How many times you didn't purposely, but you knowingly didn't do what God would have you to do. Now, when Ananias and Sapphira didn't do that, what did God do them? He called them home. Right on the spot. That's what grace is all about. And he says, my grace is sufficient. And the whole idea of sufficient is not just that God has the power to take care of what you have going on in your life, but it also carries with it the peace along the way. Think about the ark for a moment and Noah and the family. Were they protected from the rain and the storm outside? They were. God was sufficient. But I wonder if they had a real joy and peace inside. I wonder what you would have thought if you had been there. Did we put enough pitch in between the wood? What if the leak starts? What if some of the animals all shift to one side? What if? How many times? But you see, God says, my grace is sufficient. Not only can I take care of it, but I also can emotionally take care of your well-being. See, it's one thing to know that these walls can protect us. It's another thing to be able to rest inside while chaos and everything else is raging outside. And that's His promise. My grace is sufficient. Now think about that. What is it that it can't be sufficient in your life for right now? And then He goes on. He says, why is it sufficient? Because my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, is God's power ever not perfect? No. It's all that's ever necessary. The idea here, though, is completion. And He says, when you and I are willing to come before Him in our weakness, He can take His power and fill in all the gaps. See, so often I feel I can do it myself. There's not a lot of gaps there. But when I say, Lord, there's nothing I can do, then His hand comes into my hand and fills in all the holes and grabs hold. It's something that the world never likes to think about, and it's something that's hard for us. But it's only when you and I are willing to honestly, before God, admit our weaknesses, that God is in a position to fill all those gaps. How many of you would like to be lighthouses in your world? Think about this. When you think of a lighthouse, what do you think about? You think of a strong tower, one that's going to be able to stand against the rages of all the wind and everything else there, and one that's what? Always shining forth a light. And that's what you and I would all like to be. But you see, the Scripture here is not saying that. You and I need to think of a lighthouse in a whole different way. You and I need to think in that same place, out on that same rock, out in the midst of that storm, is a cardboard shack. And there's a lantern. And God wants us to realize that's the kind of lighthouse you and I are. But that didn't catch God by surprise. And what God wants to do is He wants to wrap Himself around us to supply all that's necessary so when the storm stops, just like that physical lighthouse is still there, our paper and cardboard shack is still there. But during that storm, you and I were able to save a whole lot of people out there that were looking for where the rocks were and to bring them to Christ. And He says, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then He says, because of that, He says, I'm just going to boast. I'm going to sing about God. And literally the word boast has in it the word to pray to God. So it's rather than rather than boasting to you, is I'm going to boast back to God about all my weaknesses. And the rest of that is why for Christ, actually, in 9 it says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest in me. And the picture here is, because I know God knows who I am and He knows all my problems, I'm going to boast in that because God's power is going to rest in me. And the picture here, rest means to tent over. And the picture here, honestly, is of Paul saying, look, I am weak and I can't do it. God is tenting His glory over, His Shekinah glory, just tenting right over and just protecting him. And he says, that's the way you and I need to approach life. Not thinking we've got it under control, but saying, okay, God, I'm your vessel and you know I can't do it. And trusting God for His glory to come over the top of us. That's why we can praise God. Think about it. God never made any mistakes in any situation in which you find yourself. God knew each one of you. He knew your shortcomings long before you did. He still puts you in that position. Because, see, He knows His glory and His power is all that's necessary to accomplish it. See, so often you and I think it's our power and our wisdom to accomplish it. He said, no, let me tent over you. Let my power rest over you. And when you walk through that way, you know something? One thing, it's very scary. Let me tell you, it is scary. But the second thing is, when God works, who's going to get the praise? God is. I'm going to be so freed up to praise Him rather than think of how great Mark Webster did. You know, when I was flying over to the Philippines, let me tell you, I do a little bit of preaching, and I'm more of a teacher. I'm not an evangelist. I've led people to Christ, but not like I did in the Philippines. But I've never been in a position to do an evangelistic service. I think the biggest one I did over there was to 800 people. And I saw 750 people come to Christ. If I had those kind of credentials, they'd have me all over the place. But let me tell you, I said, Lord, I've never done that before. I said, I'm out on the tip of this limb. And I don't know, you know, my thought was, I'm going to get up there. Bob and I went to seminary and all these people. I'm going to get up there and I'm going to preach and one person's going to come forward. And I said, okay, God, this is going to be a fun... I wrote in my diary, I said, this is going to be a fun opportunity because I don't know what you're going to do. And it was. Because it's all God. But it's scary climbing out on the tips of those planes, you know? But that's where God wants you to be. So that His glory can cover you and empower you. And that's why He finally goes into... The last point. That's why there's an internal joy in verse 10. He says, so that's why, for Christ's sake, I delight. The idea is, that's why, because not because of Mark Webster. Mark Webster never wants to be in that position. You never want to be in that position. But for Christ's sake, you're there. That's why I'm going to glory. I'm going to get excited about it. I am glad I'm in this position. Because God can work. See, we pray that God gets us out of these positions. And God says, I want to put you in those positions. Because it's only there that you're going to see my grace. And he says, for God's sake, I delight in weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, difficulties. And the list can go on and on, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. And so often you and I want to look and act strong. We want to be in situations where we feel comfortable that we can succeed. And God says that's the wrong place to be. And he writes Ichabod. But when you and I are in those positions where there's no way that we can succeed, and all we know is that He is sufficient and He is God, then He says, stand back and watch my glory shine. And the storms can rage and people will think that shanty is going to be blown away and wiped off the earth. But when the sun comes up, you're going to be standing strong and people are going to be saying, how in the world were you able to bring me to Christ in that kind of shape? And the reason was because it wasn't me, it was God. And this week, when Satan's fiery darts or our old nature starts to knock on the door, I want you to remember this. Always, 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 He is able. More than able, He is sufficient. But He spoke to me. And as the choir comes, I just want you to think through, whatever you're facing this week, think through and just say to me as the choir comes forward, He is able. What is it? What is it that's scaring you to death this week? Because God is sufficient. And when you begin to doubt, and I know the opportunities are going to come this week. Remember that one verse. He spoke to me, my grace is sufficient. What is it you're facing? His grace is there. As we go out, we take a benevolence offering for those that are in need. And in this day and age, there's a lot of people in need. So I'm going to challenge you. Makes no difference what I'm holding on to. But this is where our sufficiency most of the time is. We hold tight onto this, we hold loose onto this. We need to hold tight onto this, and we need to hold loose onto this. When we take benevolence offering, what we're doing, we're taking from those that have and helping those that don't. So as you go, there's benevolence boxes. Take advantage of it. Father, go before us. And Lord, I would pray every one of us would have something this week that would force us to rely on you, and we would see that your grace is sufficient. God bless. Amen.